Well, good morning. Welcome to New Life Service this morning. I'm glad to be part of gathering together. One thing I did miss is us gathering together, so we can still gather together this morning. I can't see you, but you can see me, so we can still be part of a service this morning together. I just wanted to read a couple of verses this morning out of my paraphrased Bible, because I know that Nathan loves my paraphrased Bible, so I thought I'd read it to him this morning. It's from Psalm 43. It says, "Pour into me the brightness of your daybreak. Pour into me the rays of your revelation truth. Let them comfort and gently lead me into the shining path, showing the way into your burning presence, into your many sanctuaries of holiness. Then I will come closer to your very altar until I come before you. The God of my ecstatic joy, I will praise you with my harp that plays in my heart to you, oh my God, my magnificent God. Then I will say to my soul, don't be discouraged, don't be disturbed, for I fully expect my Savior God to break through for me. Then I have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace." I also have a bit of scripture from Psalm 105. It says, "Go ahead and give God thanks for all the glorious things he has done. Go ahead and worship him. Tell everyone about his wonders. But sing his praises. Sing and put all of his miracles to music. Shine and make your joyful boasts in him, you lovers of God. Let's be happy and keep rejoicing, no matter what. Seek more of his strength, seek more of him. Let's always be seeking the light of his face, and don't ever forget his miracles and his marvels." There's been a lot of prayer requests on our prayer chain, and if you're not part of our prayer chain, get involved. And I think the more people we have praying is powerful. When Christians get together and pray together, God moves powerfully. There has been a lot of good reports from the prayer chain, a lot of things happening, and I just believe that God's going to do even more. That I just believe it's a time of fruitfulness, that we're going to see miracles. We're going to see God move powerfully through this church in many avenues and into this community as well. So I'm just going to pray this morning, and then Yvonne's going to come. And let's just pray together. Lord, I just thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power and what you're going to do in this community, in this world, God, that you're drawing men and women to yourself to get a full revelation of who you are, and that they can follow after you in your likeness, God. So I just pray in Jesus' name for salvation. I pray for your presence to saturate each one of us, God, that those giftings would flow out of us, and just glorify you and your kingdom. I just pray that we would see many brought into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, good morning. I'm going to set myself up here and put my laptop on the keyboard, but fortunately the amp is off now, so you're not going to hear a terrible sound. Just before we start, I wanted to say hi to Nikita and her friends in Maple Ridge. And Nikita used to come to New Life West when it was there. She's down in Maple Ridge right now, and she left a few messages on the phone after last week's message, just saying, you know, that that look for something to watch on YouTube, and our meeting popped up, so they watched that, and two of her friends got saved. And so, yeah, welcome this morning, and trust you'll have a great time with us. All right. We're continuing with our series on grace and fruitfulness, and I've combined the two really because we see that in Scripture. And I don't think there's many people that are doubting, but in case you have some concerns about, you know, does God actually speak to us? Well, again, after last week's message, I received an email from Pam, who is Paula and Patty's sister. So for those of you who didn't know that the three P's are sisters, Patty, Paula, and Pam. And Pam watched the message last week. And so this is what she wrote to me, and I got permission from her to read it to you, because I think it's amazing that, you know, somebody that hasn't been part of the church, has only recently joined us, would write this. Hi, Brian, I really enjoyed your message and wanted to tell you about something I got at the end. First, I heard the words of my spirit, grace is the soil from which fruitfulness grows. Then I saw a vision of a tree which represented fruitfulness, and that its roots were drawing nourishment from the soil of grace. I just thought it was neat. Well, so do we, because that is pretty amazing that God has been speaking to us about fruitfulness. Maureen had this vision of this tree, or many people had visions around that time during the second half of last year about new life moving into a season of fruitfulness. And so, and the picture of the tree came up, and the roots going down into the life and the grace of God. And so thanks for that word. It is encouraging to know that God is still speaking to us about fruitfulness. So I wanted to continue speaking about grace this morning. And it all emanated really from Matt's talk at Easter time. And his words were, this is what we celebrate over Easter. Jesus' actions produced a gift for us of grace, which is unmerited favor. And so I wanted to pick up on that and just speak about this grace, this unmerited favor, and how it works through our lives. And the scriptures that he mentioned at the time were Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so grace comes through Christ. Then we had a look at Ephesians chapter 2, is that it's by grace that we've been saved through faith, and it's not from ourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that is the picture of grace. And last week we had a look at 3 points around grace, and I said, well, we couldn't get through everything, so we chopped it in half. And the first half was that, first of all, grace is not a license to sin. It's not a reason that we can sin. Well, there's lots of grace, so let's go ahead and sin. Living in the grace of God gives us the capacity to obey God. So in other words, grace allows us to not sin. It's not a license to sin. Number two, grace means acceptance by God. And we spent some time on that. And we really came to the conclusion that regardless of our successes, our failures, our performance, our upbringing, our bank balances, no matter what it is, that God accepts us. And that is what grace is about. People in the world, and sometimes you and I, we live under the tyranny of performance. But we need to know that we have value in God, irrespective of how much we do for him, how important we think we are, how terrible we think we are. We have value in God. Number three, that grace challenges us. We don't perform to be accepted, but because of grace, we are accepted, and therefore we are encouraged to throw off sin, to sort out things and to move on. And so we've got to get the horse before the cart, otherwise we get it the wrong way around. All right, so those are the things that we covered last week. And so this week I wanted to speak about four things that happen when we live in the grace of God. There's four things that I believe happen. Now, there's a lot of things that happen. I've just picked up four. And so I wanted to read that this morning, and there's obviously quite a few scriptures relating to that. Before I start, Colin mentioned earlier on about praying for people online, and I want to encourage you to do that. This morning we heard a testimony of Yvonne that prayed for her own healing, and she had a pain in her body, and she prayed for herself. We know that sometimes we speak about laying on of hands. You know, Jesus declared that the man's son was healed, and when they got there, they realized that he had been healed at the very hour that Jesus said it would happen. So he didn't lay hands on him, and so it can happen. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for each other. Yesterday I had the wonderful privilege of preaching in a place called Molong, which is about 3 hours outside of Sydney, Australia. And that's pretty amazing, is that church didn't do church electronically before now, but now they have had to do that. And that's given the opportunity for people on the other side of the world to preach there. And so yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock our time, I was preaching there at 10 o'clock in the morning. So a few hours, 9 hours apart, I did 2 10 o'clock morning meetings. And that's pretty amazing. And it was pretty cool because I could pray for people online. We did a Zoom thing so I could see all the people as well. And I could pray for people, the people that asked for prayer. It was pretty amazing. And so I want to encourage you, get involved and get onto that prayer chain as well. And we can keep up to date with what's happening around the church. Number one, through grace, we reign in life. Reign in life. Not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N. All right, we rule and we reign in life. When we live in God's grace, as a lifestyle, we live an overcoming life. We live an overcoming life. See, in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by the trespass of the one man," I mentioned the scripture a few weeks back, they're speaking about Adam, "death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness," that gift that was given freely to us, "reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." And so right there, we are reminded that through Jesus Christ, we receive God's abundant provision of grace. And because of that, we reign in life through Christ. Is that if we live in the grace of God, we reign in life, we overcome. See, it's got nothing to do with what we do. It's got nothing to do with what you're able to do and what I'm able to do. It's rather about us receiving the grace of God. One of the scriptures that we refer to quite often is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We find grace to help us in our time of need. Sometimes grace almost comes across as a weak word. In other words, well, somebody's done something wrong, so we're going to extend grace. It's almost like there's a weakness attached to it. But I want to say that according to what we see in Scripture, grace is extremely powerful. It's very easy to react in a negative way to somebody's sin, to somebody who has done something wrong. It's much more difficult and powerful and overcoming to extend grace. And so we find grace to help us in our time of need. And it's not coming to the throne of self-achievement. It's the throne of grace. It's got nothing to do with self-achievement. We can say, well, I've done nothing wrong. I've read the Bible every day. I've prayed and I've attended every meeting, whether it be in person or by Skype or whatever. But God said, James 4 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so we don't approach the throne of God without confidence. It's the throne of grace with confidence that we have in Him. When we pray with boldness, it means that we are being motivated by the grace of God, not by something that we have achieved ourselves. You see, if we move our security from grace to the things that we do, in other words, praying, preaching, reading the Bible, winning souls, and so on, if that's where our confidence comes, then inevitably we start to feel lukewarm. We start to cool down because we can't keep up with our own expectation. There's an expectation that if I want to be a really, 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 really good Christian, this is what I need to do. And then we give ourselves this list. And that list is our list of performance. And when we don't, not if, when we don't live up to that list that we have, we start to feel lukewarm. We start to wane in our passion for Christ. And we're no longer on fire for God. We start to become cold. We feel inadequate because our performance can never be perfect. And it's an amazing thing that the very thing that we sometimes see as a weakness, that is the thing, the very grace of God that strengthens us to be able to continue to be on fire for God. What happens is that the law, whether it's self-imposed or imposed by others, is lifted from our shoulders, and we return back to life, and grace is fanned into flame again in our lives. And so I think that first point is very important for many of us, as we rule and we reign in life. We don't rule and reign by what we do. We rule and reign because of the grace of God. Number two, through grace, we live fruitful lives. We are in a season of fruitfulness, without a doubt. We are seeing fruit in Maple Ridge. We are seeing fruit on the other side of the world. We are seeing people being healed. We're seeing people being delivered. We're getting good praise reports from people. And we are living in fruitful times. But it is through grace that we are fruitful. Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 says, all over the world, the gospel, remember what the gospel is? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is what Easter was about. It's the good news that in actual fact there is grace for those that are lost. There is grace and forgiveness and justification for them if they accept Christ. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it. And it's not only hearing it. It says, since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. And understood God's grace and all its truth. So the gospel of grace comes. And when we understand it and when we accept that gospel of grace and truth, that's when we start to live fruitful lives. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing, not through ourselves, but because we understand grace. And so therefore, there's a fruitfulness that comes. And that's what Matt reminded us about, that this is the gospel. It's a gospel of grace. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we read, now I commit to you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And it's by grace that we are built up. It's by grace that we have an inheritance, not through ourselves. We can live fruitful lives because of the grace of God. See, God, through his grace, builds us up and produces our inheritance. See, prayer and fasting will not bring our inheritance. It's God through grace that brings our inheritance. Yes, we need to pray. We need to fast. We do all of those things, but we do those in response to this amazing gift of grace. When we are built up by God's grace, his inheritance is poured out into our lives. We become fruitful because of the grace of God. So let's put that into practical terms. And so we think to ourselves, okay, so there have been a number of prophecies, many prophecies and pictures and so on around New Life Church and fruitfulness, and saying, right, that God has said that we will be a fruitful church, that we are moving into an area of fruitfulness, whether it be finances, miraculous signs or wonders, or in healings. Those were the three areas that were specifically picked out. And we say, okay, so if that's the case, now what we have to do right there, we don't understand God's grace. Right there we have lost. Right there we've said, okay, we're going to make this thing happen. Therefore, we are going to do certain things. No, we're going to say, God, we want to move into an area of fruitfulness. It's purely because of your grace. Won't you bring that fruitfulness into our lives with opportunity? And because of that grace, because of who you are, we will pray for people. We will trust you for finances. We will put our faith in you. Why? Because of this grace, this unmerited favor that you have given us. It makes sense, eh? It's just like sometimes there's this fine line between putting this one first or putting that one first. And it is important that we put grace first. Number three. Through grace, we learn to say no to ungodliness. Through grace, we learn to say no to ungodliness. I'm going to read a few scriptures there around the law and around sin and then around grace. Romans 7 verse 5 says, "For when we are controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death." See, there's fruitfulness. Whether we do the right thing or the wrong thing, our actions bear fruit. Number two is that the law stirs up sin. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 11, he explains about that. He says, "Is the law sin?" Now, that's not what we're saying, because he says, "Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law." The law tells us what is sin. "For I would not have known what coveting really is if the law had not said, 'Do not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I live apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death." And so the law brings death into our lives. The law highlights the sin. Therefore, it's important that we live under grace. And then it says, "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and brought, and through the commandment put me to death." See, I believe that when the church becomes legalistic, I'm not saying that we become sinful, but when we become legalistic, we become weak. When we start to live by rules, regulations, traditions, and laws that are not put there by God, then we start to die as a church. See, we need to become free from the law and grow in God's grace. That is what enables us to say no to ungodliness. How do I know this? I'm glad you asked. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." Now, we understand that again, going back to that which happened on the cross, the price that Jesus paid, defeating sin and death, the resurrection, is that this grace of God has appeared through Christ. It offers salvation to all people. And then it goes further. And as he's writing to Titus, he says, "It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." And right there we see the difference between a law and a sin. You see, the law is always right. The law is always correct. The law is immovable. It's unshakable, and it's going to be there forever and ever, the Word of God tells us. The law is there. And the law will point exactly to the sin and will say and will determine that that is sinful. But now we, against law, we put grace. And here we say it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You see, the law points out the ungodliness, but it does not lift a finger to actually help us. So in other words, the law is still correct and the law is right and it is truth. But it doesn't actually help us. It just tells us where we've gone wrong. Whereas grace teaches us, it's by the grace of God that we are taught, that we learn to say no to ungodliness. Then we fulfill that which is required by the law. Okay, so I hope that's a little bit clearer. All right, then number four, fourth point I wanted to make, is that through grace, we are empowered to do great exploits for God. Again, one of the prophecies over New Life Church is that we are going to be fruitful in the area of great exploits for God. Miraculous things that happen. Signs and wonders. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect." In other words, grace has an impact on our lives. "No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And so Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's speaking about other apostles and so on. And he's saying, you know what? I've actually worked pretty hard. But it's not because of me. It's because of the grace that works through me, doing great exploits for God. So many great men and women of God have done great things for God. And I'm trusting that for most of them, it would have been by the grace of God, not through just a self-determination. It is important that we do these things, and grace enables us to work hard. Living in God's grace enables us to go further in God. It's by grace that we go the second mile for our brothers and sisters, when we lay down our lives for others, not by just clenching our teeth and hanging on for dear life by our fingernails. When we are empowered by grace, we are energized to do great exploits for God. You see, sometimes we see grace as the excuse not to do anything. Because of God's grace, I don't need to do anything. Because God is so gracious, I don't need to do anything to impress Him. I'm accepted and so on. Then we're kind of seeing half the story, and we live by half a story of grace. And I want to say that grace empowers us. If we look at the full context of Scripture, we see that we are energized to do great exploits for God. So let's just recap what we covered today. First of all, through grace, we reign in life. We overcome because of the grace of God. Through grace, we live fruitful lives. We produce fruit. And it's since we've heard the gospel of grace and understood God's grace in its truth, we understand and we say, God, this is not about me white-knuckling it. This is actually about you living through me. Then we are available to live fruitful lives. Number three is that through God we say no to ungodliness. It's really hard for people that live under the law to understand that fully. Because so often, because we live under the law, we want to put more laws in place. And we say, this is how we control people. This is how we stop people from sinning. Just put a whole lot more laws there. And we see from Scripture that's not the case. It's through the grace of God that we say no to ungodliness. And number four, by grace and through grace, we are empowered to do great exploits for God. It's like the grace of God is the wind in our sails, as we sang about this morning. It's His grace that moves me on and that moves me forward. God relates to us through grace. That's what He did. That's his language, is that He speaks to us through grace. He speaks to us through His Son, the perfect sacrifice. You know, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and He credited to him as righteousness. You see, God called Abraham on the basis of grace. He said that right there, Abraham believed God, and because he believed Him, it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was righteous because of his faith in God, not because of anything that he did. And that's where grace, we see grace right from the beginning. 400 years later, the Mosaic law arrived, not to replace grace, but rather to show us even more that we need grace. You see, God doesn't bless us on the basis of our performance. He blesses on the basis of Jesus' performance on our behalf. And so I want to pray with you this morning. I want to say that if you have not fully grasped this thing of grace, if you missed last week, see if you can find that and listen to last week's message. It's the first half of this week's message. Let's live in the grace of God. Let's live and understand the truth of that which was done on our behalf. Let's stop trying to perform. Let's stop living by laws that God has not imposed on us. Let's say no to ungodliness through grace. Let's do great exploits through grace. Let's be fruitful through the grace of God. And I believe that as we do that, we will be energized. We will find wind in our sails. We will not get tired of running this race and just leaning on the grace and the mercy and the love and the compassion of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the message of grace, that You are the one who came and died for us to take our sin upon Yourself, so that we don't need to perform, we don't need to live by any laws, that if we live by grace and we fulfill the great commandment to love the Lord our God with our entire being and to love others as ourselves, as we fulfill the great commission, as we do these things, Lord God, we are motivated. We are motivated to see others come to Christ because of the the amazing gifts that we have received from you. Let us understand this message of grace. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness because of what you have done. I pray for those, Lord God, that are struggling with performance. I pray for those, Lord God, that are struggling with sin. I pray, Lord, that your grace would be shed abroad. I pray, Lord God, that you would step into their lives. Come, Holy Spirit, won't you come and bring freedom to your people? We thank you, Lord, for times like this where we can get together, and we pray, Lord, that there would be a fruitfulness in our lives individually and as a community. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Have a marvelous week, and remember to connect with your life groups. And also, if you want to be part of the prayer chain, just send us an email to the office. You can find that on the website, or just give us a call, and we'll put you on that prayer chain. You can stay connected with your friends as well, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.